We may not have been able to clap yesterday, but boy, we can clap today. That was powerful, powerful. Thank you, thank you. Wow, what a witness. That is just so, we are so incredibly richly, embarrassingly richly blessed. Thank you very much. You guys are fantastic. Very, very much. Now I say it a lot. One of these times we're going to do it. We're just going to skip the communion. I mean, skip right there. Yeah, right. Go straight to communion, because that's just, you're bringing us into the presence. You bring us into the presence of God, and we are very blessed because of that. All right, I'm taking a chance here. Please. Anybody here ever see the movie Wizard of Oz? Oh, yes, yes. I'm so happy. I was out there on a limb, wasn't I? Yeah, I was. All right. So on the Wizard of Oz, okay? And the Good Witch, what's the Good Witch's name? Glinda, okay? All right. And remember, she goes to Dorothy. This is at the end of the movie, okay? And what does she say? What does she tell Dorothy to repeat? There's no place like home. Remember, she has to click the heels and all of that. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no. Remember how that goes? You remember that, don't you? Look at that. Everybody gets an A. That's wonderful. Good job. Now I know this one not so much. Anybody here read the book, Thomas Wolfe's book? There's, I just now forgot it. That's embarrassing. You can't go home again. Anybody here ever read that? No. Really? What the kind of high schools did you guys have to go to? Did you read it? Oh my gosh! Yeah, all right. Anyways, in that book, there is a character, you can't go home again, and Thomas Wolfe kind of got in trouble because it was thinly disguised in some ways about his hometown, and the people got embarrassed by it, and they didn't like the way he was making references. And anyway, that's the backstory to it. So he wrote a second book and didn't include him at all, and then they got upset at him again because they didn't get to be included. So, you know, you just can't. But anyways, in the book, you can't go home again. George Weber's the main character, and he says, I have to see a thing 1,000 times before I see it once. The prodigal saw home when he hit rock bottom. And absolutely everything was as worse as it could possibly be. He had a vision of home. The older son lived there and never saw it at all. The older son has been reliable. He has been dependable. He has worked hard. He has shown up every single day. Can you relate? Can anybody relate to that older son? Anybody here ever feel underappreciated? Anybody here ever feel undervalued? Anybody ever here ever feel overworked? Are you tired? You ever get tired sometimes? Is sometimes grief kind of overwhelming? Have you ever felt pain? Have you ever felt anger? Have you ever felt resentment? Have you ever felt bitterness? Have you ever felt hurt? Have you ever felt that you were not recognized? Felt betrayed by those you thought shared the values with you? You know what I'm talking about. It is easy for us to relate to this guy. We have all been in his shoes. We know what it's like. So I want you to imagine something. Right now, there's some stupid sport. I don't know. You bounce a ball on the floor. How hard? Even I can hit the floor. All right. I mean, how hard is it to bounce the ball on the floor? Diana's telling me, no, that's not the point. You got to put it in this basket. All right. It's way up there. Anyway, there's a March Madness tournament going on. Okay. Probably. Who's everybody's favorite Cinderella team was St. Peter's, right? All right, because, man, from nowhere, and then they get all that. That's good. But, all right, because my mom is a huge Duke fan. We'll have a prayer service for her. So Duke, this is Coach K's last time. So let's imagine, in the midst of all this March Madness, Let's imagine that Duke wins it all. My mom is thrilled. Coach K is thrilled. My sister's thrilled. Everybody's thrilled to death. Coach K and Duke, they win the whole championship. And the NCAA comes out, you know, to do the trophy and the banner and awards and all of that. And they say, we have a special announcement to make. We have decided that we're going to give all the teams the trophy. All the teams are going to get the banner. All the teams are going to get the award. Not just Duke. Not just the Final Four or the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. Not just the 64 who played or the 16. No, no, no. Every college that has a basketball team. How do you think people are going to feel about that? I mean, a lot of people are going to be happy, but I don't think Duke's going to be happy. I don't think Coach K is going to be happy. I don't think the players, the coaches, the fans, the families. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are unhappy with that kind of a system. Well, let's say you're a college student, okay? And you work hard, you study hard, you get your assignments done, you get them in on time, and they're coming back, and they're coming, and you got an A, and you got an A, and you have an A average in the class. You're the only student in the class that has the A average. And it's the week of the finals, and the finals are coming out, and you're not going out, you're not partying, you're digging deeper and deeper and deeper into your studies. You want to maintain that A average. You want to be the one that gets the A. And the day of the finals comes, and you go into that class, and you're feeling a little bit nervous, but you're feeling confident, you know the subject, you know you're going to do well, you're strong in it, you're good in it. And the professor says, I have decided we're not going to have a test. We're going to have a party. Down at the student center, the refreshments are already set up. Everybody in the course gets an A. How are you going to feel about that?
Not fair.
Exactly. It's not fair. See, there's nothing wrong with the younger son returning. That's a good thing. But let him return to sackcloth and ashes, sleeping in the barn, eating bread and water. I mean, they're just, you know, let him earn, let him prove that he really means what he says. Okay? Just give him that, you know. We need, see, it's the party that is so offensive. It's the party. Yes, of course he gets to return, but in the barn, not in the house. It's like you're rewarding bad behavior. The older son is saying, I've worked really, really, really hard every day, all the time. And the father says, yeah, you have. You've been great. I could not be more proud of you. And the older says, but you're having a party for him. After all he's done, after he left, he deserted us, he betrayed our values. I understand we have to allow him to return, but he's not earned a party. He doesn't deserve this. It's not right. It's not fair. And the father says, you're right. You're right. It's not fair. It's grace. See, just because I love him doesn't mean that I love you any less. Just because I'm happy that he's returned doesn't mean that I'm not happy that you've been with me through all of this. Please understand that I've always been able to depend on you. That my love isn't divided, it's multiplied. The father doesn't deny that the son has worked hard, been reliable, dependable, and tries to help the son see that everything that he has, everything the father has, is his. Just because the father's rejoicing over the younger brother doesn't mean that there's any less love for the older. See, this is not an either-or story. It's both and, including the one doesn't have to exclude the other. If we're going to be the gatekeepers, if we're going to be the bouncers to the Father's house, determining who qualifies and who doesn't, then we're outside and not inside, where there's a party. I've shared with you before, 12 men have walked on the moon. You would think that would make you famous. And chances are very good. 1969, who are the two guys that walked on the moon? You know this. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin. Okay. Who was the third guy? Pete Conrad. Who was the last guy back in 72? You guys weren't even born. Eugene Cernan. What about the guys, if you remember how the moon trip worked, okay? There were three astronauts in the Apollo, you know, they go up. But the one guy had to stay, and he just orbited the moon, while the other two got to go down in the lander and walk on it. But the one guy had to stay up. And on that first mission, the guy that had to stay up, his name was Michael Collins. He never, ever, ever got to touch the moon. Never got to go down. Went through all the risk, all the training, did everything else everybody else did, and he stuck just walking, watching everybody, well, watching Neil and Buzz get to do something that everybody had dreamed of. And there was no resentment in him. He had an extremely healthy attitude. And if you know anything, then you know that Buzz did not. And Michael had this great insight about Buzz. He said, Buzz always resented that he wasn't the first, instead of rejoicing that he was the second. And Michael never got to be on it at all. There are times when we can allow resentment to blind us from what we've been given, what we have, with the opportunities that God places before us. It's unclear in this parable. It's not a fairy tale. We don't get, and they all lived happily ever after. It doesn't say that. I don't care if you read it in Greek. It doesn't say that. It doesn't provide us with a happy ending. Instead, we get to write the ending. The invitation to the party does not depend on grim repentance. It depends on joyful acceptance. For the kingdom of God is a party, and the only people standing outside are the ones who don't think that they're good enough, and the other ones who think that they're too good to be with those who are inside. I get it. It's biblical. If you've ever read the New Testament, you know it's biblical. Jewish Christians had a huge problem trying to accept Gentile Christians. It's historical. You guys aren't idiots. You know this. The church has separated itself continually, if not about race, then about gender, if not about gender, then about sexual orientation, if not about that, then about political views. We're always separating who's true Christian, who's not a true Christian. We're always separating, always going through some kind of limit. It's biblical. It's historical. It's personal. Because if we're honest, each and every one of us have a list. We know who belongs and who doesn't. We know who's deserving and who isn't. We know what's right, what's just, and what's fair. And yet God continues to be patient with us. And God comes to us where we are, with our issues, with our hurts, with our anger, our disappointments, our disillusions. And God comes to us and says, look, it's my party. It's my party. And you're invited. I want you to come. But you need to know, they're invited too. They're invited too. I want them there. It's my party. And I want you to come. But you don't have to. I'm not going to make you. It's my party. And I want you to come. I want you there inside, all of us together. But it's entirely up to you. It's like the song they just sang. The open doors. The open doors. God is opening the door for all people to come into the party. And God says, you can do what you want. But as for me, there's a party going on. And I'm going inside. I'm going to be there. Because there are people who are laughing. There is music that is playing. And there is enough grace flowing to be enough for everyone. You're invited to the party, the kingdom of God. God waits. It's open-ended. Are you going to come? I hope so. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand if you are able for the hymn, Something Beautiful.